Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 25. I would like us to read first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." That is the passage that I wanted us to read. Now let us take a moment for prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this past week, for Thy fatherly care, Thy patience, Thy loving kindness, Lord. We thank Thee for Thy correction, instruction, protection, O Lord. And we thank you also for giving us difficulties according to the measure of thy grace, not more than we can bear, and not less than what we need, to keep us alert, to keep us aware of our short time here on this earth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for that patience of thine with which thou art preparing our hearts for the tasks here and preparing our souls for the glory over there. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the humility that thou art sending our way. We are so thankful, O God. And yet we are not as thankful as we should be. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou give us more love and deeper gratitude for all Thy goodness and mercy. That we may praise Thee, O Heavenly Father, that in this world we are despised and rejected. And Thou art keeping our souls from being or getting enticed toward the sinful attractions that the world is offering. Gracious Lord, our mighty God, we pray that Thou give us the grace to walk before Thee with a humble heart in meekness, to worship Thee, O Heavenly Father, in true godliness, in modesty, to be separated from the world, O Heavenly Father, more and more as Thou art revealing to us the points in our daily walk that are indicating that we are either not separated as much as we should or drifting back into the muddy waters of worldliness. Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou take us and make us Thy faithful flock. that thou lead us to the still waters and on thy green pastures. Let nothing be as delicious to our inner man as the pure teaching of Christ the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou teach us this story, that we are looking into today. Help us, thou Lord, to meditate on thy holy word with an open heart and mind, and to follow the guidance of thy Spirit, O Father. In the song books that we still use, and that the preceding generations in our families were using, we find some of the interpretation of that story, and yet, Lord, I have some questions and reservations, and I wonder, O Lord, if they did understand, and I pray that we might understand. O give us that godly understanding. Teach us, O Lord, what we need to be watchful, to be on guard, and make that watchfulness and that alertness and that caution and that continuous zeal for thy will and for thy name's honor, make that part of our life, our new life in Christ. O Heavenly Father, when we read the Gospel, we see that our Lord and Savior was always alert. He was never caught on guard, or he was never found careless. Thy Spirit was his Spirit. And in everything, he always served the honor and the glory of thy holy name, in joy and sadness, in suffering, in gladness, in rest, in labor, in everything. It always was thy fatherly will, his will. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for that transformation, for that new life in Christ, that we may truly be the disciples of the Savior, the messengers of thy truth, the witnesses of thy will. O Father, we pray that our daily walk may be inspired by thy Spirit, Lord. Inspire thou our prayers and our thanksgivings, our praise and adoration. Fill our hearts with thy loving lordship, O Lord. Teach us, oh yes, teach us that forgotten virtue, to fear thee and to respect thee, to honor thee, our Heavenly Father. Lord God Almighty, may thy will be done. Hallowed be thy name. Thy name be honored and glorified, and the name of Christ exalted and magnified. Bless and multiply thy holy word, O Lord. Proclaim thy gospel far and wide. Deliver the souls of the redeemed ones, Lord. May those whom thou hast redeemed be called, and those that are called, may they heed thy calling and haste to forsake the world and its vain show, its false teaching, falsehood and vanity, O Lord, that they may also experience the beauty and the delight of thy fellowship. O Father, we pray that we all may be protected by the power of thy Spirit, by thy holy word, by our obedience and faithfulness to thy word, O gracious Lord, so much we need, yet Thou hast much more. Holy Father, we do pray that Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Song number 15, the apostolic hymnal, and the same number in the Zion's harp. Verse number 5, I read, "All who would now be sleeping, the wise are all awake. God comes the world to punish. His vengeance He will take on him who sleeps or worships the beast's image, adores on earth the dreadful dragon. Awake, the lion roars." And I thought, well, that doesn't say much in clarity. And that's supposed to be the song based on the chapter 25 of Matthew, the verses that we just read this morning. And it even starts like that. "Arise, all ye believers, and let your light appear. The evening is approaching, and night will soon be here. The bridegroom in his glory will soon be drawing nigh. Awake and pray and watch ye. At midnight comes the cry." And so on. The song is beautiful, and I think all the passages, all the verses fit with other passages of the scripture, but I was not quite sure. I don't see it clearly that verse number 5 is fitting into this story. The Lord said that both the wise and the foolish virgins fell asleep. So I wonder what kind of sleep that is. What is the meaning of that whole story? I think so far only the verse number 13 tells the main meaning of the story. That's what the Lord said in the verse number 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." In this Zion harp, this verse 5 is very similar to the apostolic hymnal. As much as they apparently try to make it different, didn't work out very well for them. It says, "All who would now be sleeping, the wise will keep awake." Well, then the wise virgins in Matthew 25 are not wise. "God's wrath will soon be sweeping, and vengeance He will take on all who are not watchful." Well, and the five wise virgins, they woke up and they were accepted into the wedding hall, into the joy of their Lord. They were not taken vengeance upon. I read here "All who would now be sleeping, the wise will keep awake. God's wrath will soon be sweeping, and vengeance He will take on all who are not watchful. And homage did a word unto the beast and idol instead of Thee, O Lord." So, I don't know. Should we today understand from these songs what was the understanding of the believers of these groups in the past? The Lord here did not say much good nor bad about their sleeping. But let's follow the story. And I would suggest that we try to see the similarity and the differences between the two groups. Obviously, or two halves of this one group. First, I would like to point out some interesting characteristics of this story, and that is, where is the bride? In the whole story, there is no mentioning of the bride. At least I didn't find anything. Where is the bride? What kind of a wedding that is if there is no bride? That's one thing. Another thing is that Just as the Lord said in the verse number 13, they don't know the time of the bridegroom's coming. They know approximately that they know for sure that he is coming. They believe that, otherwise they wouldn't be making all that preparation. Another thing, they seem to be firm in their decision. No matter how long the bridegroom delays, they're going to watch here. So that's a very important thing for them. They want to wait until he comes. Well, the Lord says here that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. I imagine, since there are so many books and so-called Bible commentaries and explanations, that somebody made an explanation, or perhaps somebody took time and invested the effort to study the Eastern wedding customs and traditions to explain this story. But somehow, I think that this story mainly should be an answer to its own meaning. That should be the explanation of this story in this story. Or if not, then somewhere else in this book, not that much in other books, especially not the unreliable ones, and especially not those that have, quote, liberty, unquote, to modify the meaning of this story the way they like and the way it suits them and their customs and needs, at least what they believe their needs are. I believe that the word virgins in this case points to the fact of purity, holiness, and separation from immorality, worldliness, impurity. There is a testimony in protected, preserved virginity. And we see that they took their lamps. Was it already evening when they came out? Why did they take lamps? Or are their lamps always burning? Is there something else, some significance in having the lamps and having the lamps burning brightly? Or what is it? I noticed that there are some customs in diverse religions that a candle, you know, to light a candle, that means something, whatever that means to them. I don't know. I occasionally stopped by some of the Catholic churches or sanctuaries, or their, I don't know, holy or sanctified places, you know, and I see candles there. Not all of them were burning, but many candles, which indicates that means something to them. Well, in this case, I'm pretty sure that these virgins, at least the five wise virgins, were not Catholics or any other denomination. That was way before when the Lord gave this story. But we see here that they took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And now the Lord says five of them were wise and five were foolish. How do we know that? Did the Lord give to us anything? Was there anything to indicate that five were foolish and five were wise? It seems that only the Lord knew that. He says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with the lamps. Now, you see the way the Lord is talking. He didn't say that the 10 virgins were all wise nor all foolish because they didn't take oil, or they did take oil, but he says the other way around. The wise took oil. So it seemed to me that in the faith, in our spiritual decisions, we are not wise because we make wise decisions, but we make wise decisions because we are wise, and the other way around. What do I want to say? I hope I'm not confusing you. I want to say that the wisdom of the wise was their personality, their nature, their way of living. And the foolishness of the fools is their way of living and their personality. Why do we share the word of God with the people of the same background, same level of education, and very similar in their way of living, and one understands this way and the other one understands the other way? Why? Why did the Lord heal some people that needed healing, and some of them followed him right away, and the others went and told the Jews, "He healed me on the Sabbath." Why they did that? Why are some people grateful for God's goodness and grace, and the others see only burden in that? Why the man that received 5 talents, he didn't say, oh no, why 5 talents to me? Why not 1? How happy is that man that received only 1 talent? No, he didn't say that. He said, oh, 5 talents? I have a lot of work to do. And he went and he worked and worked and worked, and there comes another talent. And he works, and there comes another talent. And he works, and he is rushing, and he is hasting, and he is laboring, he is sweating. And he barely made it, another 5 talents, and the master is coming back. And this man did not come before his master to say, oh, thank God you came, I really couldn't bear this any longer. No, he's coming joyfully. And he said, Master, King, Your Majesty, Your talents made another 5 talents. You know what? This man does not exist as an individual. He is part of the body of Christ. He belongs to the Lord. That's why. And I think the foolishness of the foolish virgins is their personality, their nature. What do you think? Is this new nature in Christ, or the old nature? Sinful. The nature that tells, well, I certainly want to be saved. Obviously, God is real. You know, there must be something, you know. And I want to be saved. I don't want to risk to go to hell. But I have this and that to finish first. That's very important. And if I do it right now, it's going to be too hard. Or I might not even be able to make it. So tomorrow I'll take it very seriously, and when I do it, I'll really do it. I won't be like those religious hypocrites, you know. I'll really make it. I'm going to make perfect repentance and perfect conversion, but not today, tomorrow. You know? And it remains tomorrow to the end of their lives. Why do they say tomorrow? Because they do not think that the bridegroom is coming tonight. And he is coming tonight. And those that are ready will enter, and those that are not will not enter. Now, back to these virgins. I think they are wonderful souls, wonderful characters that appear here. Just look how careful they are. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now let's compare that. What do you think? Is it easier to carry around a lamp without the spare oil, or is it easier to have a lamp that is filled with oil and perhaps some container beside? It's always easy to walk around if you don't have a lot of things to carry, if you don't have to care for anything. But then think about David going to meet Goliath. King offered to David, King Saul, poor man, he offered to David his Saul's armor, you know, protection, sword, spear, shield, whatever they had. David tried that, and he hardly could walk. He said, I cannot go with this. I'm not used to that. But then he said, but I will do what I'm used to that. I will use the weapon that I have proved, that I know the Lord helped me with and before. And so he went to a place where there were smooth stones, perhaps to a stream bed, you know, and he picked up 5 smooth stones. And he took his slingshot. You see, he did not go to meet the enemy unarmed. And if we want to go to the Lord's wedding, we cannot come without anything. First, we cannot come in dusty, filthy garments. We cannot come in garments that are not modest. We cannot come in with an appearance that will indicate we don't belong there. But these virgins had all of that. They had everything except one thing. If you have a candle, I don't know what kind of candles they had, but I remember that back in Europe we had candles that would be filled with oil, seed oil, or melted fat, or even wax. No. Well, if you had a candle that was filled with the fuel, and you walk with that, you have to do it very carefully. You're going to spill. If the candle is left without the fuel, it will start smoking and then die. I have some questions here. While the virgins were sleeping, were their candles burning all the time? Or did they sleep in the night, in the dark? In any case, we read here, while the bridegroom tarried. In other words, before, as the time is passing by and the bridegroom had not yet appeared, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, there is the news. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. All these virgins arose. They trimmed their lamps. You know what happened when the lamp is burning long time? What is the name in English of that little thing in the center? The wick will get carbonated, and it stays long, and the flame is out of shape, and there is more smoke. So they had to trim that and put it in nice, good shape, make it neat, make it functional. And everything is fine except the wick will not burn without fuel, without oil. And at this time the foolish see or show that they were foolish. Before, it was not that much visible. I think it was not. Maybe it was. Maybe the wise virgins had to walk slowly and very carefully holding their lamps filled with oil. I don't know. But here we see that the foolish are in a need. they ask, and they say to the wise, give us of your oil, our lamps are gone out. The bridegroom is coming. Just a little bit longer. But so what? What if their lamps went out? Could not one lamp be sufficient for two virgins? Maybe they too could share it and hold the lamp together and go two by two and all of them go in. Well, apparently there were some rules, some limits. Everyone must have a lamp. We cannot walk in the faith like Siamese twins and share some vital things. We must have our own. The wise answered, saying, no. The wise virgins in this case did not show charity. Hey, look, what we have, let's share, and whatever happened, happened. Oh, no. No, we don't take chances. No. They instructed them, go ye rather to them that sell. You know where you got that little oil that you had in the beginning, that small amount? There was much more. Why didn't you take more? Now, if you need more, go get it. But we cannot share our oil. It has to be in our lamps. And we must be sure that our lamps will be lighted and keep burning until we get in with the bridegroom. It says, go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. This verse number 9 is so special. It's so mean. No mercy there. But why? I think why. Because there is false mercy, which is human, and there is true mercy, which is the Lord's. The true mercy provided for oil in time and in right place. And human mercy promises something that will not suffice, that will not meet the standard of the bridegroom. I think that in many groups today that I see around here, this story would have to be somehow changed, you know. They would make that story approximately this way. And the weaker virgins said unto the stronger, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the stronger one said, of course, we will share with you. So they shared the oil, and there was plenty of oil for all of them, and they all went in with the bridegroom and were happy forever after. Well, that would be a fairy tale. That's not what the Lord Jesus said. He said that those that had oil in their lamps, they waited until the bridegroom came, they went in with the bridegroom, they attended the wedding. They were familiar, known to the bridegroom. They were part of the wedding. They were the bride. All the faithful churches, all the faithful souls are the bride of the bridegroom. And they do have oil. How much oil? As much as they can take. That's how much oil we need. You see? No, we don't need oil for, I'm 58, almost 59 now. I need oil for another 10 years or 20 years. I'm sure you're not more than 30 years. So that's how much oil I need? No. Oh, no. No. I need as much oil as I can take. that supply, you know, the place that is selling oil for us, they have oil as much as necessary, and I should take as much as I can. No, that's the commandment of the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your time, all of your possessions, all of your being. So what can I do? I never did that. Did anyone of you? Did you ever love the Lord with your whole heart? There was no other feeling in your heart than loving the Lord. All of your thoughts, no other thought came across. All the thoughts of your mind were praising the Lord. And I hope I'm not looking down on you. Actually, I'm looking up to you. It never happened to me. In the best case, I was finding out more thoughts that don't belong to the Lord. More feelings that did not come from the Lord, you see. So the wise did not share. Did not the Lord say to share? Even John the Baptist said, who has two coats, let him give one to another. I think that's in John's epistle that says, or James. Probably James' epistle says, if brother or sister be in need of clothing or food and so on, and one of you will tell him, oh, just go in peace and eat and drink and get warm and just don't worry, everything will be all right. But you don't help. You don't have the love of God. But look here. Does not the love of God apply in this case? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We cannot have the love of God to promise or to give to somebody we cannot give. Empty promises are not the love of God. When the apostles Peter and John were in Samaria to pray for the Samaritans that the new believers may receive the Holy Spirit, they prayed, the apostles prayed, and the apostles laid their hands on the heads of the Samaritan believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. How was that manifested? I don't remember any details. But I perceive that it was very visible that Simon, the former magician, could see, well, these new Christians really received the Holy Spirit. They have it. It's visible. Somehow he could see. They're different. They're doing something differently. You know what else? He knew that he did not receive it. And so he came to the apostles, and he was not interested in receiving the Holy Spirit. No, that was not his need. Simon the magician wanted to have the Holy Spirit as some material that he can distribute and give to the others. He wanted to have the Holy Spirit in such a way that he can say, well, if you believe the words of the gospel that you heard, I can give you the Holy Spirit, and this is the price. You pay me 100 or 1,000 or whatever, that much money, and you will have the Holy Spirit. That was Simon's, the magician's, imagination. I wonder what was his conversion. Apparently, he thought that the gospel is some teaching with better magic tricks than the ones that he knew in the past. So he was willing to improve the method and to change his way of living. He believed that after the apostle, the book tells us that Simon did believe. He even stayed with Philip. And when he came to Peter, and John, and he said, things, the money, I want to buy that power that you have. He thought that Peter and John had the Holy Spirit, a few tons, and they just give to anybody whom they want to. And he said, I want to buy that power. And Peter looked at him and he didn't say, oh, Simon, there is some misunderstanding. Let me explain that to you. No. Peter was very harsh. He said, your money? To be in the same perdition with you. You're lost. You are still in darkness. You did not believe the gospel. You are not converted. We don't want to have a penny of your money. And you have no portion in this grace of God. In other words, Peter condemned that attitude. The power of the Holy Spirit is not in the hands of the apostles. It's in the hands. The apostles are in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Well, here are the wise virgins. Why are they wise? First, they take everything that is necessary, and all that is necessary is in the Word of God. They do not neglect anything that is necessary. Do they slumber and fall asleep? Yes, they do. Is that part of their wisdom? I'm not sure of that. Maybe, maybe not. Well, I cannot give you myself as a perfect example. I wonder if I can offer myself as any example. But I will share with you this. When we started looking into the question of modesty and we started changing our clothing, and when our girls made the first modest dresses, I was all excited. I was so joyful. It was wonderful. And so they made one model, and then they made a better one, and then a better one. And it took a lot of labor to learn something on your own without much help and without somebody to teach you at hand. It's not an easy thing. It was not an easy thing, but it was a possible thing. And soon, the young ones had their modest dresses. And I was thrilled with that. And then a year passed, and another year, and another year. I'm not thrilled anymore, but I'll surely get very nervous if the trend turns around. You see. When the things become usual, and you live like that day by day and year by year, you know, the excitement, the thrill will be replaced by custom, by the, how could I say, usual, regular way of living. You know, it's a normal thing. When we got our first house back in Ohio, it was something that we worked on, and we were busy about that. And then after a year, that house was, well, that's our house, and thank God we have it, but there is not the excitement anymore, you know. You don't, when you get your new car, and in the morning next day you get up and you look, oh, how wonderful, you get into the car and you drive and it works fine and so on. Wonderful. 1 month later, you get into the car, well, that's okay, but it's not, you don't get all thrilled, all excited. Even the Lord said that in heaven, there is a greater joy for one sinner that is repenting, turning back to the Lord, than for 99 righteous people that need not repentance. You see. And I don't think we should expect in our spiritual life that there be some excitement every day. As a matter of fact, well, again, I hope not to offend somebody, but let's say in my life, hardly ever last maybe 10, 20 years, ever an excitement and joy hardly ever came before a realization of something bad. I see that something is neglected in my life, that I made some mistakes, and then I pray about that, and I strive to, and sometimes really struggle to make corrections. And when the Lord, by His grace, had made the improvement, then comes the joy and the excitement about God's goodness and grace. But in any case, let's look back to these virgins. They, all 10 of them, wanted to meet the bridegroom. All 10 of them did everything except sufficient amount of oil. 5 of them took as much oil as necessary, and 5 of them took only as much as to have it right now. It's an amazing thing. You know, if we are in an airplane and we have enough fuel to fly just 1 mile short of the airport, we better don't start. You know? And so it is in the gospel. If we have any limits to the Lord, we are lost. If we have any ifs, you know, I'll be faithful or if only this or that does not happen. That if and that only is our trap, our snare, our destruction, our doom. We must be faithful, not because we must, but because we want. Faithful to the Lord, if He comes today, if He comes tonight, if He comes after many years, we must watch and be on guard. Well, that servant that had one talent and he hid that talent and he just waited, I'm just waiting for my master to come so I get rid of that one talent. I'm tired of that, watching it and keeping it. And yeah, I did hide it in the earth, in the soil. And I wrapped it nicely and so on. I hope it will be all right, but still, I hardly can wait to get rid of it. I think he was watchful. But he was watchful to do something that is not the will of the master. The master said, take this and work with that. Work. Here the Lord says, watch therefore. What does that mean in this story? How should they watch? Have enough oil. Be sure that if this awful, unbearable situation that you are in, that I am in right now, if that will last for 100 years more or 200 years more, it's very unlikely that any one of us would live that much, even if the Lord would delay His coming that long. But as long as it takes, let the Lord set the limits. All I want is to do His will. And to be obedient, to be faithful. And if it's too hard for me, then I have only one solution. Oh Lord, give me strength. Oh Lord, arm me with the whole armor. Lord, I need that oil. Yeah, there, you see, the wise virgin said, go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And I think it was the prophet Isaiah, but surely the Lord Himself did fulfill that prophecy. Prophet prophesied and foretold about that. But the Lord Himself is the one that fulfilled that prophecy. And He has been doing that from the beginning. And I am confident He will continue to do that to the end. He's the one that is selling the oil. And he says, buy for me free of charge. Just buy free. But then he says, don't waste your money on the other things that are worthless. Well, somebody comes to him and wants to follow the Lord and says, Lord, here, I have some money. How much of that shall I give you so that I can follow you? And the Lord said, you follow me for free, but you leave all of your money behind. Okay? You don't take anything. Nothing that you can rely on of your own strength, your own wisdom. Now, before the time expired, oh man, it almost expired. I want to say this. What is the faith, the true faith, that the wise virgins had? They believed that each one must have oil, that each one must have a burning light, that each one must take care of their needs, spiritual needs. Is it good to have good fellowship? Oh, that's wonderful, and it's very necessary and very helpful. But no fellowship will give anyone salvation. Salvation is from the Lord. Well, can somebody find salvation there where the teaching of destruction is? Well, I'm afraid not. You know, we need good teaching. We need good fellowship. We need everything. But salvation is from the Lord. In without any benefit would someone be converted to his or her church or her fellowship or her leader, his leader, if that leader is not the Lord himself. So even if we attend a faithful church, even if we are part of a true fellowship of the Lord, that fact in itself will not save us. We must receive the oil from the Lord. We must receive from the Lord continually, all the time. And there is time to buy. There is time to get that supplied. And that time goes on and on. Let us not be deceived by that. If one day we fail to take sufficient supply, that's when the Lord is coming. You see? In the hour and on the day when you think not, the Lord is coming. Isn't that amazing? So, do not delay. The wise virgins, they believed that they, the wise, the faithful, cannot give salvation to the foolish. You must get it the right way. You must get it at the right place from the right person. What was the foolishness of the foolish? What was their religion? Well, if we are with the wise virgins, you know, well, it's true, I don't have much oil, but look, they have plenty. So when I need, I'll ask. They will give me. No, they won't. See, we all have, in the best case, as much as we need. Nobody has more than necessary. The Lord does not waste the gift of salvation. And we cannot save one another. We cannot save ourselves. It's only from God. So, the foolish virgins relied on their fellowship. And that was the source in which they trusted. That's not sufficient. We must have the fellowship with the Lord. Each individual must have that salvation. My heart must be pure. My conscience must be purged from sin. I must have the Spirit of the Lord. I must have that firm decision. As much as it takes, I'll wait on the Lord. As long as it takes, I will serve the Lord. And nothing else is worth as much as death. Oh my, scared me. Nothing is as worthy as that one important thing, and that is my readiness. I am ready for the Lord, for His coming. You know, that is just as if He was here. And of course He is. He is here for all those that have sufficient oil and their lamps are burning. That light is the presence of the Lord. Let's have that light so secured, you know. The foolish virgins missed only one thing. Only one. They did have the lamps. They did come out. They did join with the others that were to meet the bridegroom. They did everything. Just one thing was missing. The Lord said, many will tell to me on that day, Lord, Lord, in thy name we did this and that. In thy name we prepared our lamps. In thy name we walked out to meet the bridegroom. In thy name we joined and fellowshiped with the wise virgins. And here they are. They are banging, knocking at the closed door. And they say, Lord, Lord, open to us. Surely that merciful, gracious, loving Lord will open. No, He won't. No, He kept the gate open. He kept the door wide open. Come on in. But we don't have oil. Why? Why? There's plenty of oil. I have prepared everything. Why didn't you take that oil? Why didn't you buy it? Well, we serve the Lord not by how much we give, but we serve the Lord by how much we keep back from Him. You see? If I keep anything back from Him, I don't belong to Him. I must give away everything, and there'll be nothing of my own and everything from the Lord. So they knock at the door, they ask, and the Lord says, I don't know you. Strangers have no place in this wedding. You see, only those that have been prepared in the way that the Lord has appointed. And He told them quite clearly, you must have oil in your lamps. Well, the grace and goodness of God is eternal. It goes on and on. But the grace and goodness of God follows His guidance, His limit. That's the only way we can get it. The Lord said to Adam and Eve, there is one tree. Don't touch that one. Just leave it. It's there for that purpose that you would not ever touch it. When Satan said, look, that tree is delicious. That fruit is very meaningful. Just take it and try it. They did. In vain would they call, oh, God, be merciful to us and let us live in this Garden of Eden. We promise never again to take of that fruit. That could not be reversed. And the Lord apparently destroyed the Garden of Eden. And He did not allow the people to live their sinful, rebellious life in the Garden of Eden. The Lord will not allow anyone without the oil to join the wedding. We must have that oil. Now, somebody after all of this might ask, what is that oil? Well, let me tell you the secret. If you know what is the wedding garment, if you know what is the candle, if you know what is the real light, if you know who is the bridegroom, you know, if you know all these other things, we surely know what the oil is. You see, there must be a certain completeness in the Lord. No part of my heart is kept back from Him. That's rebellion. Oh, that's my prayer, that the Lord would give us a faithful heart. The true faith is shining in this world with the deeds of love and charity, the deeds of obedience, faithfulness, true godliness. May the Lord bless His word and also bless our hearts with that true faithfulness and true testimony, the lamp, the light that will not be extinguished, that will not die out, and that we be awakened sufficiently early from any kind of sleep, so that we don't rush for the oil when it's too late, just because we postponed and delayed getting it in time.